Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zimmer, and it is my privilege to serve as the minister of this congregation. I'm joined in welcoming you this morning by our Director of Religious Education, Karen Lapidus, and Elaine Bowen, who is serving as our worship associate. I'd like to extend a special welcome to those of you who are with us for the first time this morning. We're always glad to have guests at our services and hope that if you come again, you'll consider coming a bit early as we have our social hour between our first and second services beginning at approximately 10:30 a.m. If you find that you would like more information about the life and work of this community, I encourage you to complete a guest card, which you can find in the racks in the pews before you. You may place your completed card in the offering basket when it comes to you later in the service, or hand it to a representative of our membership committee who would be glad to greet you at the welcome table just around the corner outside the sanctuary doors after the service. Ours is a church that strives to practice the fragile art of hospitality. And so in that spirit, I invite you to take a moment to turn and greet your neighbors. In addition to asking you to silence your cell phones, I'd like to direct your attention to the thread from the web. That is the insert in your order of service. There you will find several announcements as well as a calendar of events for the week ahead in the church. There are a couple of items that I would like to bring to your attention. Today, after our service, we are having a pizza party to hear about proposals for our congregation-wide social justice initiative and to vote on the one that we'd like to pursue together. We have four wonderful proposals: an environmental initiative, an initiative to work on lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender rights, an initiative to work with immigrants on immigrants' rights issues, and an initiative to create a community garden as a congregation. So I hope that you'll come hear about those proposals and select your favorite. Connor and Megan May have a special announcement to share with us.
Kent Social Services helps people all year through.
But now they need help from me and you.
Kids like toys, or so I'm told.
So we have a plan, if I can be so bold.
The holiday season is coming fast.
So let's buy some toys, it'll be a blast.
Bring your unwrapped toys to the church right here.
Before 12/11 of this year.
Miller Community House needs our help too.
We wouldn't want their holiday to be blue.
You say you'd like to help, but hate to shop.
Here's an idea that you can cop.
See this can with the slot on top?
This is into this your money can drop.
Don't have any to spare today?
We will be downstairs for three more Sundays.
Just look for the can, man.
So for the next three Sundays, we'll hope you'll find a way to help make the holidays brighter for residents at Miller Community House and neighbors in our community who use the services of Kent Social Services. Next week, you are again invited to join us for worship at 9:30 and 11:15. Mick Bates, who is a member of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Olmsted, will be our special guest. Christopher Sperry will be working with him as worship associate. The title of Mick's sermon is, "Is the secret to happiness really to want what you have?" At the end of today's service, Elaine and Karen and I will be glad to greet you at the rear of the sanctuary. And once again, I bid you welcome.
Each part of our service has meaning and purpose. The music for gathering that Hal plays before the service starts is time for us to be quiet and still. The chime means now we begin. And this part, the call to worship, is an invitation. It is an invitation to you from the worship team, the ministers, the minister, the directors of music and religious education, and the worship associate, for each and all to come together in sacred space to experience the holy. I encourage you to join me this morning by making yourself a part of our call to worship. Please take a moment to relax. Repeat each line after I say it. Let the words come not from your voice or from your throat, but from that place you find deep within, so that you can feel and believe those words which come forth. It is a blessing to be.
It is a blessing to be.
It is a blessing to be here.
It is a blessing to be here.
It is a blessing to be here now.
It is a blessing to be here now.
It is a blessing to be here now together.
Each time we gather for worship, we set aside time to widen the caring ministry of this congregation. We take time to memorialize those who have died, to celebrate with those who are joyous, and to call into this community of care those we know who need our very real love and support. This morning, we celebrate with Sunny de la Luz, who is welcoming the arrival of her first granddaughter. Annabelle Sunshine was born this week. And will you hold in your thoughts and prayers Becky Haynes, who has been in the hospital this week with an infection. She hopes to be going home soon and welcomes your cards and calls of care and support. Healing thoughts and prayers to Sophie Grubb, who had a blood vessel burst in her brain this week. She is in Akron Children's Hospital, and her parents, Shana Steinhaus and Max Grubb, ask for all of your prayers and support as she has surgery tomorrow. Friday was the International Transgender Day of Remembrance, a day to acknowledge all of those around the world this year who have been killed because of their gender identity or perceived gender identity. And so we too acknowledge the tragedy of violence rooted in fear and hate, and pray for a world that is more sane and more whole. O God, whom we know is love, we pray to feel your spirit moving among us this day. When we face fears, may we know your spirit as courage. When we face sorrows, may we know your spirit as the willingness to be vulnerable enough to let somebody else in. And where we are blessed, may we know your spirit as the upwelling of joy. We come this day bearing our lives, and we pray only to be awake and alive to all these gifts which we have been given. May it be so, and amen. So I don't know about you, but I can't quite decide what to make of Hans. Is he a gullible idealist who can't tell when he's been taken advantage of? If he is, I'm nothing like the man. My mother is a shrewd bargain hunter. She taught me to shop around, compare prices, and use coupons whenever possible. In my family, it's a source of satisfaction and pride to be able to say we got a good deal. You might even call bargain hunting something of a sport in my family. Hans might be a bargain hunter, but if he is, he isn't very good at it. He doesn't seem to mind, though, so maybe that isn't the point of the story. Maybe Hans is supposed to function as some kind of fairy tale puppet showing a way to liberation from the weight of our possessions. If he is, I'm not really sure I want to be like him. I'm a tourist, which means that I like my home and my possessions, especially when they are both useful and beautiful. Whereas my partner, Ellen, gets attached to things in general in case they might possibly one day have some potential use we can't yet imagine, I get attached to particular things that have special meaning for me, like my grandmother's mixing bowl, which I accidentally broke a few weeks ago when I was taking it down off the shelf. I can assure you that I did not feel liberated to have one less prized possession. I don't aspire to be free from caring about material things, but then again, neither does Han. So he seems genuinely delighted with each new trade, so maybe that isn't the point of the story either. Maybe Hans is simply a faithful optimist who knows how to find the silver lining in any situation. In this way, I'm not really much like Hans either, at least not in my first reactions. When I'm faced with personal trial and tribulation, my first response is often to fret and brood. I do it quietly and mask it well, but the truth is I worry about things. I get anxious. When I make a mistake, I tend to rehearse my missteps, calculating where I went wrong. And when money is involved, I literally calculate the cost of my errors over and over again. It's tiring and wearisome, and though I aspire to serenity and harmony in my life, I'm usually derailed when trouble comes knocking. And sometimes I have a hard time letting it go. Maybe this is where Hans has something to teach me. Maybe this is where Hans has something to teach you. I know my own spirit is in trouble when I start feeling sorry for myself. When I'm more aware of what is missing and wrong in my life than that which is present and good, I know I'm lost. When that happens, I have found that prayer reliably helps me find my way back. I begin by pouring out my sorrows. Once my cup is empty, then I have room for it to be filled again with gratitude for all of the blessings which always abide. Once my worries are surrendered in prayer, then I have space in my heart to acknowledge the gifts which always remain. Tom is a Unitarian Universalist who's currently in prison in Tucson, Arizona. He's a member of the Church of the Larger Fellowship, which is our mail order church, and he recently wrote an article for their newsletter in which he reflected on the gifts which he has discovered remain in his own life despite the reality of his incarceration. Stripped of material possessions, writing these words in a noisy, overcrowded prison dormitory, I ask myself, what gift can I possibly give? Many of the gifts we offer to others are small, ordinary things. A cordial greeting, a comforting visit, a gentle touch. We give what we have to give. If we have humor, then laughter is our gift. If we can cook, then food is our gift. If we make music or hold a hand or listen well, these are our gifts. The currency of our kindness flows from what we are, from what we love. If we're preoccupied with what is missing and what is broken and wrong, he continues, we lose the harvest of all these small gifts, piled one upon another, that accumulate without our acknowledging them. If we become more aware of the blessings of a single day, it will not erase our sorrows, but it will help us remember how strong and rich we always are, even in the midst of suffering. That, I believe, is the truth. Even in the midst of suffering, there is always blessing. Will we bend our ears to hear its song? Will we focus our eyes to see its beauty? Will we open our hearts wide enough to acknowledge and praise the gift? Prayer can take us where our will cannot. And so I give you this poem from Wendell Berry as a prayer, The Wild Geese.
Horseback on Sunday morning, harvest over. We taste persimmon and wild grape, sharp sweet of summer's end. In time's maze over the fall fields, we name names that went west from here, names that rest on graves. We open a persimmon seed to find the tree that stands in promise, pale in the seed's marrow. Geese appear high over us, pass, and the sky closes. Abandon, as in love or sleep, holds them on their way, clear in the ancient faith. What we need is here, and we pray, not for new earth or heaven, but to be quiet in heart and in eye clear. What we need is here. Amen.
And amen. All right. Will you pass that to Elaine? Pass that to Elaine. Good. The loaf, symbol of friendship and community, of hunger sated and life nourished, bounty of the earth and the sun and the rain, harvested, milled, and baked for us to share. Breaking this loaf, we remember we are held, sustained by the earth. Breaking this loaf, we acknowledge that our lives are the first gift we ever received. Breaking this loaf, we name joy as our blessing. And as you eat, when it comes to you, may you know joy as your blessing. Okay, bread first. There you go. So wait until I tell you, okay? And if you need gluten-free bread, Spencer will bring it to you. Just raise your hand.
What we need is here. These are the blessings we have been given. Grandparenthood, insight, compassion, laughter, openness, being alive, having a mom, being a mom, finding love, the gift of time, sensitivity, peace. What we need is here.
The cup, symbol of friendship and hospitality, of thirst quenched and spirits lifted. Bounty of the earth and the sun and the rain, harvested, pressed, and strained for us to drink. Drinking this juice, we remember that we are held, sustained by one another. Drinking this juice, we acknowledge that we cannot live for ourselves alone. Drinking this juice, we name joy as our blessing. And as you drink, may you know it to be true.
What we need is here. These are the blessings we have been given. Imagination. Empathy. Memories. Compassion. Life. Common sense. Joy. Family. Nature. Supportive relationships. Trees. Our bodies, experience, abilities, and faith. What we need is here.
Welcome. This is our joy. This is our life. This is our love. What we need is already here. We lift our hearts in thanksgiving and praise, and let the congregation say, Amen.
Blessings for a good Thanksgiving go with you. Eat heartily, drink wisely.
Remember all those gifts that come to you out of the wellsprings of existence.
Know yourselves blessed, at least for one day, by the most high and most deep, the known and unknown source of life. Go in peace.